Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you meet us here, and wherever you are, we know that you are present and you will meet us there. And any time you encourage us, exhort us, invite us to pray. So here we are this morning, Lord, like-minded to a degree anyway. We want to serve you, we want to hear from you, we want to pray to you, we want to make our requests known to you, our supplications, our intercessions, and our thanksgiving, Lord. This is the last morning, Lord, here, but as we go our separate ways, I would pray that each of us would be just a fountainhead of continuing prayer, Lord, and seeking your will and then doing it. And so, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, by our Spirit in us, your Holy Spirit in us. And so, Lord, lead us now as we have one more time a trip to the cross, one more time a prayer given to you and an answer given from you. So, Lord, lead us this morning in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday morning, we talked about forgiveness as Jesus, I believe, was being nailed to the cross. I don't know exactly where the process was, but he said, what? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And just a few verses further now, he's on the cross, has been on the cross for about 3 hours, because right after this incident, we see it was the sixth hour and darkness came until the ninth hour. Picture Golgotha as best you can, three crosses, Jesus in the middle, as prophesied in Isaiah 53, between two malefactors, between two thieves. The three of them are there. Pilate has just had given the orders to have the sign, which would indicate the crime of the criminal, so to speak, nailed to the cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. And he's hanging there. Isaiah tells us he was beaten beyond recognition. And if you can imagine a more helpless, hopeless sight than somebody bloodied and battered and beaten and already hanging on the cross for 3 hours, I don't know what it would be. But we have here this awesome account in Luke of a conversion at the very end of a man's life. It's called the thief on the cross. And it is so encouraging, I believe, to us all to know that as long as there is breath, an individual has the opportunity to receive Christ. I don't believe there's another account of a deathbed conversion in the scripture, at least I'm aware of. Maybe there are. So it's not the preferred method. It's not live your life apart from Christ and receive him at your last breath. But oh, how good it is to receive him at whatever breath you have left, right? And we see a perfect example of God's grace here, because the thief on the cross had done nothing deserving of salvation. Have you done anything deserving of salvation? Of course, the answer is absolutely not. The gift is given not because of anything we have done, but because of what he has done. And we see a man of faith. I think this man may be the greatest example of faith that we have in the Bible. Certainly in the New Testament. He believed when none of the disciples believed. As far as we know, nobody believed Jesus would rise again from the dead. We know John was the first apostle, I believe, that believed as he went to the empty tomb with Peter after the resurrection. But here we have, now Joseph of Arimathea also, I believe, will exhibit some belief prior to the resurrection when he takes the body down. But right now, Jesus has not yet died. He's on the cross. And we read in the account, particularly the other accounts other than Luke, that both thieves were railing on Jesus. They were both coming at him earlier on. But now we have something fantastic happening. And you know the story, but I just want to read it to you, because this is so awesome, so holy. Verse 38 of chapter 23, and an inscription also was written over Jesus in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But here's the other one. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? Seeing that you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then, here's the prayer coming up. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Notice several things in this prayer. It's very short, but very powerful, to be sure. He's addressing him as Lord. Then he's addressing him, remember. And then he's saying, when? So I think he's thinking maybe it's sometime in the future, if you ever come into your kingdom or whatever, remember me. And then he says, when you come into your kingdom. Now notice the answer. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, truly, truly, verily, verily, assuredly, I say to you what? Today. He asked, the thief asked for some time in the future. Jesus says, today. Isn't that good? Today. There's not a waiting list. Today. You don't have to go through a refresher course. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to finish listening to somebody's long witness or long gospel message. Today, today, you will be not just remembered, you will be with me. Can you conceive that? That upon receiving Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. We have God with us. Isn't that something unbelievably awesome? Do you really appreciate that? Do you really rejoice in that, that your name is written in the book of life and that you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you right now? Oh, how we should not be going around with long drawn faces of the terrible things in the world. The world's bad, it's getting worse, but that's not where our hope is. That's not where we're looking at. And if we're going to show anybody the face of Christ's love, we've got to demonstrate it, right? So we need to remember this, and Jesus says, today, you will be with me. And then he says, not in just a kingdom, which who knows what the kingdom is going to be in the future, but what? In paradise. In paradise. In paradise. So we have a dying man, a dying thief, praying to a dying Savior. Now, if this man had that much faith, looking at a dying Savior, how's your faith in looking at a living Savior? How sure are you that Jesus is alive? How sure are you that he rose again from the dead? How sure are you that God showed his acceptance of the price of sin being paid by God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Christ, for that matter, all combined in the power of the resurrection of raising him from the dead, victorious over sin, victorious over death, to live again forevermore? Isn't this great news? That's the gospel message, isn't it? You'll never see a sermon, I don't believe, by Apostle Paul or I think Peter without the cross. Without the cross. The cross has to be there. We have to see our sin. We have to confess of our sin. We have to recognize that we're wretched sinners lost. And if you're talking to people and they don't think they're sinners, I don't think they will ever be saved. They might say they're saved, but they can't recognize their need for confession. They can't recognize their need for a Savior. And so most will say, well, I'm okay. I don't need a Savior. I know you're a mess and you need a Savior and I'm happy for you and it's a good crutch for you, but I'm strong and everything. But there'll be a day when the Lord will put them at the end of themselves and then maybe they will remember and then they will turn. And so we have the dying man to a dying Savior just asking to be remembered. And Jesus said, not only remember, you will be with me. He said at some time in the future probably, and Jesus said what? Today. He has to be into the kingdom, and Jesus promised him paradise. So as we go today from the conference, as we go forward, help us to keep in mind that we have been given the treasure in these cracked pots of enormous glory, enormous good news, enormous answers. Jesus Christ is the only answer. There is no other. And three questions I always like to kind of keep in mind when I'm talking to a cult, whoever it is, whatever false religion is, three questions. How do you know that your God loves you? Second question, how does your God take away your sin? And third question, how do you know that when you die, you will be in heaven? No cult can answer any one of those three. They can hem and haw around, but so many times, if they're thinking, they will say, well, no real answer. And then they say, well, what about you? Now, when somebody asks you that question, boy, you got the whole gospel right there. I know that my God loves me because he sent his son to die for me on the cross. I know that my sins have been cleansed and taken away because if you had seen me before I received Jesus, you wouldn't even recognize me today because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, taking away my sin, right? And then how do I know I'm going to heaven when I die? I mean, if it's a terrorist or something, I can say, you know, go ahead, chop my head off. I'm going up. I'm looking forward to being with my Savior. I'm not fearing death at all. I'm looking forward to it with a great deal of joyful anticipation at his time, right? So keep those things in mind, but above all else, just thank him for who he is and what he's done in your life. And we'll go into prayer, but I just want to play an old hymn here. Jesus is now on the cross, so I think this is a good time to sing the old rugged cross, a favorite certainly of some of you, many, many, many more. So let's sing along with that, and then we'll get into prayer.
On a hill.
Rugged cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was.
Father, we do thank you for the price that was paid for our salvation. And Lord, as we remember you on the cross, we remember also that the cross is no longer something holding your body. The cross has been emptied as you have risen victorious over the power of death and sin and given us the good news of the gospel. So Lord, help us to keep that in mind. Help us to pray for the lost, Lord, to pray that they would recognize their need for you, Lord. Only you, Holy Spirit, can save anybody, but Lord, we can be that witness that you would have us to be. So as we go to prayer this morning, Lord, would you just prompt us to pray in the ways that are appropriate for the last day of the conference and for where we are in our lives right now and for the world is where it is right now and for the billions of people that are walking dead right now and maybe later in the small groups we can even pray for some people by name. But now lead us in this general prayer, Lord, and I just thank you for how well there has been the leading of the Spirit in the last couple of mornings. And Lord, continue to lead us in prayer. So let us pray in Jesus' name.